So how do these praises come out? What's the form of them? Well, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Now, some of you are familiar with hymns, hymn books, some of the old hymns of the faith. Some of you know what psalms are, the book in the Old Testament where songs come from that, and a spiritual song we'll talk about later. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to sing a couple of songs. One is a psalm and one is a hymn. We're going to ask you to stand, and we're going to actually ask you to participate. You'd prefer to spectate, but I'm going to encourage you to participate. And so what's going to happen is we're actually going to have the words up on the screen for you. So all you have to do is follow along with the words and sing. It doesn't have to be the best. Your neighbor doesn't have an evaluation pad next to you marking, "Ooh, that was off." Oh. Sing. Sing to the Lord, sing joyfully, and give him praise. The hymns of praise tend to be used to make declarations about God or something to do with our relationship with God, whereas directive praise, often the Psalms point us to the Lord. So that's the sing part or the song, and I think you know that play pretty well. You did all right. But now we're going to stretch it a little bit with something called the antiphon. Now, some of you who are singers know about antiphonal singing in choirs. Antiphonal choirs are, you have multiple groups that are kind of echoing or singing different lines back and forth to each other. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 27, David was clothed in a robe of the linen, a fine linen, as were all the Levites who were carrying the ark, and as were the singers, and Kenaiah, who was in charge of the singing of the choirs, plural. In the worship in the Old Testament, as they came into the temple, it was not uncommon for them to be a choir here and over there, and they would go back and forth singing. We're going to give you a shot at it. Now, our little people already went outside for little learners, but we still have some younger people here. So we're going to need you to actively assist us. And if you're struggling, Carla will help you on this side. We'll swap it out. Okay, I'll let him explain it. We're going to do the hallelujah one.
So what we'll do is we'll have the ladies lead this, and the men will echo. So the ladies will do the hallelujah part, and the men will do the praise the Lord part. And then on the chorus, the ladies will do the praise ye the Lord, and the men will do the hallelujah. So ladies, follow Giselle and Patty, and men, just follow myself and Brian.
If you want to get exercise, you can stand.
If you want,
on
if
your
the
part.
Ladies, when your part is singing, you can stand up and then sit down. And the men, when you're singing your part, you can stand up and sit down. I'm going to be standing anyway, so it doesn't matter to me. This one is also an echo song. It's called "You Are Holy." This time, the men will lead, following myself and Brian, and the ladies will echo. The ladies' parts are in italics on the screen.
I now dub you the men and women's choir. You have passed that play. Be seated, please. Now, there was a time in church history where people believed that instruments were worldly, that instruments should never be allowed in service, that it was all vocal only, a cappella. Along the way, then, they decided that an organ would be okay, and then a keyboard. And then some folks rediscovered the book of Psalms. Psalm 81:2 says, "Begin the music, strike the tambourine." "Play the melodious harp and lyre," and I think the bass guitar and the regular guitar count. Psalm 150 says this, "Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals." There was a band that led worship. And so we've got some instruments with us, and they're going to get a chance, a little bit different. I know we've done a lot of singing with it. We've done the voices, we've done the choir, but now's a chance to be able to worship the Lord with the instruments. The song, the choir, the instruments. To this point, most people who attend church would say, "I'm comfortable. I'm all right. It's not too out of the box. We sing, we play, we do choir. I'm good. Well, the playbook has a few other plays. See, if you keep running the same play over and over again, after a while it gets a little tiring. So God threw in a few extra plays, and I'm going to have some help. Okay, that was fun, but is that really worship? I mean, are you really allowed to do that kind of stuff? Does the playbook include those kind of plays? Glad you asked. How about this one? This is the play known as The Shout. Psalm 95:1, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 81:1, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Count of three, give me a praise the Lord. Shout it. One, two, three. Not bad. This side's got it. Let's try over here. One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, they got the shout. Then there's the clap, which is Psalm 47:1. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Okay, give me one clap. One clap. Okay, good. I don't know, Kurt. I think they're excited about training camp. You know, I'm watching this here. Then there's this. This is called the hand lift. Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. You're probably thinking this morning would have been a good day to take a shower. Your neighbor's thinking that. Go ahead. See if you can do it. Praise the Lord with the hand up. There you go. Okay. Now, did that hurt that much? Now, see, some of you are like, okay, you haven't done the play yet. Let's try that one more time. On the count of three, hands up in worship. One, two, three. There you go. There you go. I don't know. This one's going to really stretch you. This is the dance. Psalm 149, verse 3 says, let them praise his name with dancing. I'm not talking about the foxtrot. I'm not talking about the tango. I'm talking about a David dance where David danced before the Lord with all of his might. It says he was leaping and dancing. He was so excited about God. Church, we are not here for a dirge. We're not here at a funeral. We are here to celebrate Jesus Christ who rose from the dead, who ascended to heaven, who sits at the right hand of the Father and ever lives to intercede for you, who is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to set everything straight. If that doesn't get you alive, let me check your pulse. Now, it's easy to say the shout, the clap, the hand lift, the dance. But it's not just enough to know the play. We need to practice the play. If you'd stand with me, please, and I'll turn it over to the team. You may be seated if you can. Well, for some of you, you're like, whoa, he wasn't kidding when he said different. You're all right. We have defibrillators in the back. We're okay. But also, Scripture has a few more plays for us. This one's called the bow and kneel. In Psalm 95:6, it says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And along with the bow and kneel, often we get the other play that goes with it, the silence. Habakkuk 2:20 says this, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. In Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Healthy worship is able to let it rip with all that you have and praise to God. And healthy worship is able to be still and quiet and hear his voice. And we're hoping that today, and we're going to do one more song, that you've had an opportunity to learn some worship plays if you've never done them before, and if you know them, that you were reminded of them. So that when we do enter into worship, you're ready. You're ready. When we call slant 45, you're like, I'm there. You're ready to go. So this next song is entitled, Saturate Me with Your Anointing. And it will connect with one of the things that we looked at earlier that was entitled Spiritual Song. Now, we've done some hymns and we've done some psalms, but there are times as we're just waiting in the Lord's presence that a spiritual song arises. That's where the Holy Spirit just begins to minister. We begin to sing without the words, and we just begin to sing a song of praise. It's basically made up on the spot as the Lord works through you in worship and praise to Him. Sometimes it's associated with prophetic worship where the Spirit of God ministers to somebody through that worship. I don't know what He's going to do, but I just encourage you as we bow our hearts and kneel before Him and wait on Him, we're going to take a minute of just silence. Glory, glory to the Lamb. Lord, thank You for calling us into Your presence today to sing the songs, to be the choirs, to play the instruments, to shout, to clap, to raise our hands, to bow and worship, to dance, to be still, to wait. We offer all of our praise to You because You are worthy of that praise. We honor You, O King, great God, great, 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 great God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being flexible, team, and working with us. Hallelujah. Folks, last point take home. Knowing how to worship is important. But worshiping God after you know is essential. Why don't you say it with me? Knowing how to worship is important. Worshiping God after you know is essential. And my prayer is that some of you attend other churches, that you'll go back worshiping God with a new fervor and excitement and a passion. And if you regularly attend here, that you will do the same. And if you're looking for a church home, certainly you're more than welcome to join us. Our vision is about hope, healing, and wholeness, helping people move from brokenness to wholeness in Christ. Well, we're going to continue to worship, but we're going to do it first with an introduction. There are some plays that I don't want to have you practice. The first one is called Dropping the Paper. No, the first one is called The Quarterback Sneak. This is what church members do quietly before the service is over. There's the draw play. That's what a lot of kids do with their bulletin during the worship service. We don't want you to be a bench warmer. Those are folks who don't sing, pray, work, or apparently do anything but sit. Be careful about the backfield in motion. Those are the frequent trips to the restroom. In a few short moments, you're going to hear the two-minute warning. That's at the point you realize the sermon is almost over and you begin to gather up your kids and your belongings. We're not there yet. Now, you're hoping that I don't have instant replay today. That's when I lose my notes and I fall back on last week's sermon. And we're going to certainly try to avoid sudden death. That's what happens to the attention span of the congregation if I go into overtime. All of you are sitting there hoping that I don't call the trap play. That's when you're called on to pray, but you've been sleeping. Then there's the end run. That's getting out of church quick without speaking to anybody in the church. Please, please don't have us learn about the flex defense. That's the ability to do absolutely nothing with what you've heard today. And finally, you don't have to worry about the blitz. That's the rush for restaurants following the closing prayer because we are serving lunch downstairs. So you can head on down there. There's one last one, though, and that's called staying in the pocket. It's fine for a quarterback to stay in the pocket, but we'd really appreciate when the offering's received, you wouldn't keep your money in your pocket, but you'd worship the Lord with your giving. Could our ushers come on down?